Committee of the Whole meeting, September 4th, 2012.
Committee of the Whole order at 7:37. Roll call.
Trustee Clemens.
Present.
Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Sanfo.
Here.
Trustee Panatelli.
Present.
Trustee Trippin.
Present.
Trustee Wyszynski.
Here.
And 2.1 is approval of minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting of August 20th, 2012.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Simon Selle, second by Sandoval. Questions, comments, changes? None? Roll call.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Trustee Simon Selle?
Aye.
Trustee Trippin?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Motion carries. Public comment? Okay. On to community development, the recycling awareness campaign.
Mark, so basically what we have here is a campaign that 12 folks come up with to improve the collections and gather as many possible sources for these items into the Swaco pool, if you will, which helps to offset its cost. Mark, maybe you can just go through everything you've been doing.
You can absolutely. If you recall, to get to the 60%, they were developing an education campaign. Swaco was doing an education campaign. I included the slides, basically, that they provided to the village so far and everybody else regarding that campaign and some of the plans, and we're going to incorporate obviously their plans to try and improve the recycling. Currently I think countywide we're about 39% and the goal is to get up to 60%. So they developed that campaign. Crown Lake is one of the target communities. They figured they could get the biggest bang for the buck with us and a couple dozen of other communities, but we're one of the target communities, so we would be provided with additional resources as they come available if we get on the list, and Swaco has them. They have limited toolkits, frankly, and they have limited capabilities to calling assistance teams or street teams where they'll come out to an event and participate in that event, try to educate people on that campaign to improve recycling, which is one of the reasons we need to set the tree date, which is part of the agenda, so we can have them come out and support that event, but there's no charge to the village for that. They're going to establish, and the campaign kicks off September 12th, with Recycle First, Trash Last. That's essentially the slogan. There's a very slogan. There is a website that's going to be up and running at that time also that people can go online and get additional information on what they can do to improve recycling. So we're going to get to this. I said some information from them. And when the website comes online, we're going to link that up with the village website. We're going to send out an email blast. As well as CCY information about that to start off the campaign. And I said we're going to make a link to the website. Any additional information that we get as this campaign moves forward, we'll also send out as it comes available. And also, we already requested a street team for the tree lighting event, because that's the closest event that we have here in the village that's going to be occurring during. It's actually outside the campaign, but they said at least children in the area is probably going to be okay. They should be able to attend it. We're a target community. That's the ideal event for them, and hopefully we can increase the exposure to that. So, again, you know, a little bit of staff time here and there is about all we have to incur as far as expenses go and putting things online and getting information out there. We'll also probably, when we get the flyer, we'll do something, stick something in the water bills too to let people know to recycle first and trash last. So that's it in a nutshell. Anything I missed or
actually, Vicki and I have spoken not too long ago about possibly doing some sort of a display that we would like to duplicate for both buildings here and Public Works and the TD. And again, just something, you know, kind of small. We don't really want to go in a whole lot of space. But, you know, maybe getting some old radios or a couple of old but smaller items that are usable for the Walco recycling but no longer able to be, you know, thrown away. Give a couple examples and then maybe a good size poster, something that, you know, the new slogan and how to recycle.
I just want to add two things.
So would it be okay for us to go ahead and do some sort of small something for both buildings? Would everybody be okay with that? Sure.
If it doesn't interfere with access, should be fine.
Okay. Move our team caps on. Put something together.
May I suggest that a couple of us get together and try to strategize what is the message and how will be most effectively capture the audience that's coming there for whatever reason they're coming.
Mm-hmm. We're
30-some% of choice. We have to change attitude to change that percent.
Well, you know, I know something that a lot of people don't get about this whole Walco thing is that it does net some revenue. Small as it is, it typically nets some revenue to the village. However, if we're not netting enough, our cost to do this Walco program, we're sometimes so close that we might not necessarily be making this a winning proposition. So getting on board with this particular campaign and getting our residents onto the recycling challenge, it's really going to be important if we want to continue to stay with and move forward with the Walco and this whole recycling program. So we really do need to get something.
There's two parts to it, all right? So we've got the electronics collection that Walco really backs, and then the product recycling is through a contract with our waste hauler that the more we recycle, the more they benefit to keep our costs down as well. But that's not directly related to Swalco. That initiative is to keep the waste going into landfill at a minimum.
Right, for our better good and being green, we need to look at both sides.
So if we can get Swalco to get Lake County, unincorporated Lake County and Waukegan on board, that would be a huge initiative. So, we need to work on them as well.
Oh, it would be so nice, but it's often.
Well, maybe we could put that on the posters.
Why
don't the biggest entities in the county participate?
And the biggest entities in the county are always the ones who are not counted at the meeting. They virtually don't show up. Anyway.
They'll be providing posters too, so we'll be able to obviously just print them on our own because we have the capability. So, and, you know, reason for any stuff that you can look at and put something together will help you out where you need it.
And then something in the mailer for the water bill, if we can even do something a little bit separate, maybe, like, I know this is probably going to be like, make it in the shape of a garbage can or something. Make it different. Make it intentional so that people are like, oh, and they actually have to look. Because I know a lot of people who now come to their house, they don't even care what the postmark on it says. It's thrown right into trash, or everything in it except the bill is going in the trash. How many people just don't read?
Is there a program in the schools as well?
That is a good question. I know that a lot of the schools are participating, a lot of the schools are participating with, not necessarily with Walco, but with recycling. They're benefiting, the schools are benefiting to some degree as well, just within their own community.
We're going to get notes for kids to go, you know, take home notes. Like, that way they're getting them home. The parents are going through their paperwork.
Well, and
not spending that money with postage or anything.
We can certainly partner with all the schools in our district and see if we can send something home that would make sense.
I think another area that you may want to touch on is the multi-family housing that Parkinson's and more than that.
So maybe, you know, give us some ideas to do a Facebook thing and use some multimedia avenue if we want to, but I'm not quite sure. You're only talking about doing a challenge or something. I'm not quite sure. If you challenge people to do something, there's usually something in it for them. And I don't know what you have to give or do or whatever for someone who really gets further moving, but we can give that some thought, perhaps come up with an idea. John, that's something right up your alley. How are you ready to start?
I know.
No, that's
okay. Human resources and finance for employee health and dental insurance reviews.
We have two, you know, the two proposals there, one for health, one for dental. The 50,000 foot assessment is the health insurance premiums that we're recommending are going down. The program that we're recommending, the premiums went down. And the dental insurance plan that we're recommending, staying in principle, costs are going up. However, benefits are staying the same. And if you net the two, the health insurance expenses are way outweighing the dental. So we're netting savings of, I think, about 42 in that month. Is it 42 or 48? 46,000 dollars in savings. So you think of 48 or 15. So that's about it. If we have a representative here, we can answer any specific questions. But
Marcus Newman is our insurance broker for billing from GCG. I guess I'll also add that we budgeted a 10% increase for health insurance if they come under, like Trustee Clinton said. PPO can decrease by 7.5%. The health savings account decreased by 3.2%. That's usually closer in that past years. This year is a little bit more severity than that. Dental again did increase 6.7, but we also budgeted 7.5, so it came in under budget. Pleasantly surprised at health insurance again. I don't know if you want to explain, Mark, just why 2 years in a row our insurance has gone down 6%, when in the past it's gone up 18 to 20% 3 to 4 years in a row. Besides that, if there's any questions for Mr. Newman, that's another question that he's asked.
Well, Blue Cross Blue Shield publicly admits that it overestimated the impact of the Affordable Care Act on its premium. And based on the MLR, the minimum loss required, that's required by the new ACA law, Blue Cross Blue Shield is in a position to lower your premiums. It has to do with the overall health of your group, your demographics, but more importantly, it's just a good time for health insurance and for the village around Lake.
Okay, yeah, life insurance was a 2-year contract that expires next year. Vision insurance was a 4-year contract that expires in 2014. Therefore, that's why those insurance plans are not in front of you tonight.
Okay, are you comfortable with it? Move that forward, sir.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Public Works, Allie.
Early July. I'm not going to go through that again other than in a very summary sense to hopefully define the problem you're trying to solve.
going to bring the topographic map out here. I do have aerial photo, but it's pretty small scale. You've seen it before. The alley where the drainage problem is from Avalon up to 134. And not a new problem, as I've been told, perspective by some of the residents is that when we paved Goodenham, the contract, we did have some paving work done that had, let's say, some limited design considerations that passed as part of it. That's what I'm told. Hypothesis, it also exists, it's just an aside, but it helps to find this alley. The alley pavement of the toll was so bad that the wheel paths were rutted and sort of acted as drainage swale. And so you can't win for losing, maybe. But anyway, I had met with Mr. Gillis shortly after I got here, and then gave a presentation to the board back in June, the first four options that were on here. It was clear to me that those options were requiring somewhere between $60,000 and $80,000 by my estimate, and each of those had disadvantages. Asked to look further for other solutions that became option five, which you took a presentation on July 2nd. I had met with Mr. McGillis and walked through those all five of the options, spending most of the time on the option of a shallow swale starting at the north end of the parking lot. On the east side of the alley, going into a storm inlet, duct iron pipe, because it will be a shallow pipe going under the alley, some earthwork to allow the discharged water coming out of the pipe to spread out and dissipate. Be northwest. Iron Horse facility on the north side has taken water in their parking lot and in their building. And how long that has been going on and its relationship to the paving in the alley is not totally clear to me. I did meet with John, I don't remember John's last name. Back in July and then most recently last Thursday, explained the options that I was looking at, and this one in the Iron Horse parking lot is more problematic. And if we go forward with option five, I do believe we'll need some help of a professional nature from, say, Baxter and Woodman to make sure what we build with a similar nature up here will work. It will take more earthwork to catch daylight, if I can say it that way, to get the captured water to flow, disperse, and dissipate. Option five of the material cost, some survey work, some at least checking the mine design considerations, and easement, as in formal easements, as we will be outside of the 16-foot alley right-of-way, and I do believe these improvements will be there for some years, maybe through change of ownership, that we need to protect our interest and the property owner should be knowledge of what their concern is. So I am recommending that we go forward with anything on private property and goods, include establishment of a formal lease. So material would be purchased, we would do the construction ourselves, i.e. in-house. Labor is not in that $10,000 estimate, which I want to say on purposely or did on the high side. I don't want to be the low bidder on this one. What I'm trying to say is hopefully cost will be less than $10,000 material, design, support, and legal fees to establish for the lease. This is not in our budget, and the board recall we did some storm sewer work at the high school property to install that storm sewer in the manhole. We would be exceeding further the general fund storm sewer maintenance account, as well as the motor fuel tax account. But on balance for those two funds, very much at comfort, we can absorb $10,000 thereabout cost. Begging the question, are we paying full freight on these improvements should we go forward, or will we be looking for property owner participation? With that, I think I'll pause and try and answer any questions that there might be.
So you said on balance, you're still comfortable that you can cover it. Is that because of the position that you had open for the year?
Certainly that's a contributing factor. I want to say I talk to myself all the time wanting to fix everything in the first 12 months, but also trying to be fiscally prudent. And so far in the black and the four funds that I'm responsible for. Mother Nature will do whatever it's going to do come winter time, so I am not guaranteeing at this time I will be able to stay in black, but that's clearly the objective.
Actual trend may not be indicative of future projections.
I may ask, right down the general fund, please, with all the departments, not just the specific accounts, again, it's a lot of there was a surplus, I mean, not a surplus. Expenditures were $170,000 less than what we could all tighten their belt. There's some wiggle room there. So across the board among all the departments, there's some play in the budget. Should the board decide to continue with the option that Ron proposed?
Ron, was there any talks with the entities about cost absorption or participating in that?
I did not ask Mr. McGillis if he wanted to make a contribution to this work. I did ask that of John, again, I apologize, I don't remember John's last name, because I want to say, this is my assessment, there's more going on in his parking lot than from a drainage problem standpoint than what water we are sending there now, and it's not clear to me what water we have historically sent there. That was a short conversation with John. And it had some vocabulary that I
believe. I see you did a good job and you're still standing here.
I have an open relationship with the gentleman.
Thank you.
Part of the consideration that Ron's also looked at is if we do the swale and inlet at McGillis's property, that intercepts the flow that would continue down towards the Iron Horse. So by doing the north, the southerly phase benefits them as well. And without getting farther into the Iron Horse property, there's not a whole lot we can do there other than put the inlet. It would be just off of where the pipes currently exit that are pretty well plugged coming from Dan's driveway right there.
Mayor, thank you for reminding me of that. Absolutely correct. If we intercept water at the driveway of Mr. McGillis, we will have reduced the amount that's flowing north of me. And in and of itself, in the elevation challenge being more difficult in Iron Horse, I would want to have Thatcher and Woodman help me with a final relook, what, if anything, creative could be done there that I may be now too close to the city.
Are we sure we have to do both? We do the swale, the shallow swale on the Neal property. How big the need for the drainage on the
I'm reasonably sure there will still be an alley contribution to the Iron Horse parking lot of a lesser magnitude. And again, here's where the history that's been conveyed to me gets blurrier, what it did look like, what was the problem in the parking lot, and water getting into the Iron Horse building prior to the alley being paved. That's unfortunately cloudy information.
Would it cost us more in aggregate to do it in two stages? Do the Gillis property inlet first, see what happens, and then just go down and do the Iron Horse?
Not substantially more. In-house labor, equipment, we charge ourselves by the hour. Material is commonly available. So yes, this could be done phase one. There the wrath of John and then do a follow-up phase.
You say a shallow swale. How deep is a shallow swale?
I'm going to try and have, and I realize it's difficult to see, about 6 inches of cover where the 10-inch diameter ductile iron pipe goes under the alley. Ductile iron is pretty strong, forgiving. So I'm going to come in about 6 inches, 8 inches down from top of the inlet, which would be the detail being there with me. Top of the alley pavement, a little slope down of the grass area, about 2 feet off of the pavement, top of the inlet. 6-8 inches below that will be the top of the pipe. So I'm into about a 2 to 3 foot precast concrete barrel poured to take the pipe. So long answer to your question, about 3 feet down. It'll have a little bit of stones to catch debris. Mr. McGillis and I have certainly talked about the importance of that inlet grate being kept free of debris to function when it is needed. I have sworn testimony that as long as he is there, he will take care of it.
Amen.
I think Dan's question is more on the profile of the cross-section of the swale.
Yeah.
You come off the pavement alley 2-3 feet, 2 foot flat bottom.
6-8 inches down, as Dan and I walked and talked. It would be on private property, the swale. It can be contoured to whatever one wants it to be, i.e. mobile when it's dry. We have the room to do that. I think that would be consensus if this goes forward. And, excuse me, and I show it here with a little bit of a burn and a little bit of insurance.
We have long had an issue with this area, so as long as we're not looking at, I mean, every other option is a lot more expensive. I don't think this is unreasonable, and I think a good bang for our buck, actually.
So, Mr. McGillis, we assume you seem to address your concerns as far as you can be.
Ron spoke to me on this several times, and, you know, the last option, you know, I understand the those wanting to be prudent. They actually appreciate it as a taxpayer. And, you know, the last option, what Ron just, you know, alluded to is that, sure, you know, you can't build a church according to each assembly service. I understand that. Right now, I think the only thing that I have to be concerned with is if a workable drainage facility gets plugged up, my property will get wetted. I'm the guy that's there every day, 24 hours a day. If it gets plugged up, it's on my property. I'll maintain it. I have no problem with that. That's something that happens anywhere in the village. It's not your responsibility. You know, I talked to him about excluding the, quote, 100-year event of water, which then everybody in the village suffers. I don't expect this to be able to take that capacity of water. What I do expect it to take is a normal rainfall, a so-called soaker rain for a couple of days, something that's not a catastrophic event, and keep water from going inside of my garage. To have it be able to drain away, that water goes in my garage in the winter and I have a car frozen in the ground. And I've dealt with this for over 10 years. Thank you for at least considering this. This has been a problem for me for a long time. The thing that Ron has proposed, I think, to me sounds great. It's a substantial drainage. What the village tried before, 6-7 years ago, a piece of 4-inch plastic that with two holes is covered up. And be not functional. I'm not an expert in this field. I don't know. So it's a lot better than what's been addressed before. I certainly hope that will work. If it doesn't work, I would certainly expect that the village would do something to make it work. I'm not an expert in this field. But I want to thank Mr. Krug on the first telephone call that I made to him this spring, shortly after he took on the new position of Public Works official director, in 10 minutes after a substantial rainfall, that one, and I think most of you have seen, hopefully all of you have seen the photographs of the rainfall, he came out within 10 minutes and has been very attentive to me, which Public Works has not been for the last 10 years, and I like him, Ron. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This has been an ongoing problem, and I want to thank everybody here for addressing this for me. Thank you so much.
So, Ron, if we were to do this in two phases, and maybe, Jim, you can answer this too, will we see enough of the water problem not reach John that we shouldn't have to worry about doing it as a two-phase problem? Because I hate to see that we do it as a two-phase. We take care of Mr. McGillis, and as in the past, Iron Horse has been literally flooded out. I mean, they couldn't even open for business. They've had to replace flooring and carpeting and paneling and all of the such. I hate to see us put a business out again. So should we be looking at this as a two-phase or just do, you know, bite the bullet and do what we have to do to help both of these residents?
I'm not going to have enough to shut up. I'll do panel open. I'll do it both. I think two inlets make sense. My concern is, unless we go in, suggest that the village go in and completely regrade the parking lot for Iron Horse, that we're not going to satisfy the owner. And I don't think that's the village's responsibility. If you look at the back of the building, on Iron Horse, the pavement slopes towards the building, and the masonry joints have opened up over the years, and that's where wire rings will now go through those joints into the building. And it's not our duty to go onto their property to solve that. So if we could do more, if Iron Horse was willing to do grading in their parking lot themselves, where we could lower the inlet that we're proposing to maximize the benefit of it, that would be something to consider. But what Ron's initial contact has told us is that John is unwilling to do anything for himself at this point. But if we put the inlet in there with a small amount of work to benefit as much as we can without trying to regrade his parking lot more, I think it's worthwhile trying. So, again, I wouldn't expect that he would be fully satisfied with what we did, because what we're proposing on the Gillis' property is going to be more beneficial than what the inlet at Iron Horse would do. But yes, it would probably make sense to get both done, and at least we can say we did what was reasonable for the Gillis to do at that point.
Yeah. Mr. To your question, enough irregularity, my observation, and I cannot tell you with confidence how much reduction that inlet, let's name that an Gillis, the Gillis inlet, will benefit finally. I totally agree with what the mayor said. There's just a myriad of irregularities in elevation in the parking lot, and absent the owner of Iron Horse making an investment, while I think we can do some good, I don't feel confident that we can capture all of the normal rain given the current parking lot. So you know, doing the first phase certainly will help Mr. Gillis substantially, will help the Iron Horse. How much will help, we'll see after we go ahead and go forward with looking at going just to phase one.
I'm not sure about some of the history. Now you said it seems a little murky for you too. Who did the paving on the Iron Horse property that has now got it so slow? Did you see that in the or have that done?
Public Works put the ridge in.
On the L.
On the L. That was probably
okay, but in his parking lot, did he do that paving?
To grade on the private property that our knowledge we did the slight asphalt berm along the eastern edge to try to divert some of the water.
But we didn't put that pavement there, but we angled it toward the building, so it's going to take on more responsibility to correct.
Let me be candid from my conversations with John. He was quick to show me the seal coating that he had done in his parking lot, and his stated good graces in some seal coating of our alley. So, in his mind, we all want. And
conversation I had with him last fall, when he had, or early spring, whenever it was, would the village like to participate in the cost of the seal coating, and explain to him that the village is always willing to accept donations.
Did he give up one?
He decided to seal coat the alley as well, so I take that as a donation.
Other questions that I can hopefully answer? Is there a consensus then to go forward with the first phase?
I think we're saying.
Okay.
Two votes.
Yeah. Did you have to take the initiative to re-rent anything, you know, by way of equipment or whatever? Might as well just get it all done at one time and not look at any additional files. I think the whole point is we need to do this as prudently as possible. So I think by doing both phases at one time, we might save from there.
Ron has stated that the second northern portion is a little more challenging grade-wise.
Correct.
Making the decision cost-wise, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference to do them separate. I would suggest starting with the south one and trying to continue conversations with John in the hopes that he would want to do something in his property that would make us putting an inlet more beneficial to his property. Even if it's regrading a 20-foot section that we could try to drain into the inlet or something, we should be responsible but to maximize it. If you don't do something, you show me that you're causing problems, then do both now, be done with it. We did what we could. If we could try to partner with them yet, we think there's some hope and no additional cost to us than to do it two phases.
I understand doing nothing in Iron Horse is another poke in the eye. I believe an inlet up in the Iron Horse parking lot can do some good. I believe it will not totally capture the water given the irregularities of the deteriorating parking lot. And so we're in sort of a no-win situation with John as it sits today.
And we still would need to acquire an easement property.
Correct.
So that's a whole other step that we need to have through.
Okay.
So if we can get the McGillis easement in a timely manner and get that done and are working on the other one separately, that would be another consideration. Is everybody comfortable if we approach it that way? You know, it could end up two phases, but whatever
right.
Makes
sense. Right.
We'll approve all the work if you want to do it in two phases.
The $10,000 is just one of the general fund with circled at the end of the fiscal year?
Yes. Well, that's not good.
Well, the projection is that you'll have surplus, but otherwise you're going to have to go into reserves.
Yeah. Okay. Initially, though, we're going to come out of general fund?
Yeah. Yes, we need to start the general fund.
That would be my recommendation. General fund.
On some exchange, we have your promise that you'll
So with a little bit of help from Baxter Woodman and Eric, someone to help us draft an easement, if I'm hearing correctly, go forward for the whole thing, but most likely constructing in two phases. And do the work, and we didn't say anything about that, by the end of October, that's the latest. So that's why I do want to move forward.
Well, procedurally, I mean, this committee as a whole, should we then come back to the
resolution meeting? That's right.
Approving the expenditure, giving the timing latitude to the director.
Thank you very much.
That's becoming enormous.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Okay, special event holiday tree lighting.
Consultant,
your advisor.
Am I not
doing that?
it, or was it just me?
It was you.
Me? And you were included on?
I did.
I had a whole for special events, you should.
Okay, so it is schedule 47,000, Little Dog, 55. So we put these nuts off with any ride, whether for many, and the bill. Benefits anticipated as follows, standard donation 100, hot chocolate and cookies 50, which I think didn't go up for donations last year for cookies. I think it went okay, or am I incorrect? I know the, who was all that came and told me and donated cookies?
Cora's kid?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
There may have been some.
Because I remember emailing with her.
Yeah.
Which I can do again.
We did buy some just because you don't know what you're going to get.
Exactly. Buying 200 cookies, 20.
I didn't see the stuffed animals on there, Mark. Are we?
Lights for the tree, 100, 475.
Do we need some?
Yeah, there's none downstairs. We did a circle, it seems like maybe two or three.
So we also need to add the ordinance. Get it the big way.
Say how ordinance?
Yeah.
So we would need to add something. Do you remember how much?
I think it's not like maybe $80. It's under $100.
Yeah.
And we're going to be adding signals to my minutes. We're going to be adding more lights to the tree this year.
He just put that bigger. It's growing. It's growing every year.
That's hard. That's why I'm going to put it so that way we know it's against it.
Good friend of Spencer's growing.
If that's the reason that it's
growing. I'll go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, we have cookies
on your
plate.
You
have hot chocolate.
The little ordinance, I
Yes, you did.
Wow. Awesome.
He doesn't realize how big the downtown area is.
Yeah.
How many trees are out
there? There. So we need to take out one cookie and add it, correct?
Yes, I have.
How many cookies?
No, we have one.
There's twice. That's right.
Big Tim, are enough cookies
here? And what do you feel is going to work yet?
I think it's 75, I think.
$75.
Just to clarify, Trustee Clements has volunteered to supply additional lights needed for the holiday lighted tree. We have time to decide if that's desirable to Move it.
Well, we don't have much time here. That's
Mark's.
Let's well,
what are the small considerations?
You got to get on the list. Oh. And they got a limited amount of resources.
Okay.
And they've been saying that from day one. So I'm just trying to be a little more proactive. Do we anticipate
any difficulty having it on that day? On the 7th?
No, it's just the anniversary part from our village. I could just come with too much. We're celebrating. How, you know, remembrance of something that was not
celebrating.
We can have to do it on a Friday. Can we
get
it Saturday? Has it ever been
done
that
way, or has it always been a Friday? It's always been Friday.
Can we change it our day? Why can't we change it
that day? The 30th is not bad either. That's Thanksgiving. It's the weekend. It's Friday, too. Start the holiday season a lot of times, traditionally.
What is it?
30th?
I think
it's
30th.
Okay, 30th.
Mm-hmm. We'll move to the 30th.
Move to the
30th. You couldn't do that. What if I had access to the date I
started? The consensus is November 30th.
Okay. Settled. Police staffing.
In these three items, the police department is seeking permission to hire one full-time police officer that currently is not, a budget does not reflect that position. Also, one part-time records clerk, which our budget also does not reflect. And two part-time police officers, which positions our budget in this project. The expenses for these positions would be recovered from the salaries of the Director of Police Administration and one vacant community service officer. Should we hire them, those positions would be indefinitely surrendered. We would have to change our ordinance or reflecting that. And with the part-time officers, just for example, that has been in the budget for the entire year. We would only, at this point, use half of the year's allocation for that. We would still, with all these positions, using the money that we have currently allocated, we would finally see a reduction in spending. We've spent a long time looking at our staffing at the police department and our needs. And with some of the personnel changes that we've had, I really believe that requesting these positions would help us move forward in the most economical and the most accurate fashion to be able to serve the community a lot better than we are today. We would be able to take care of a lot of issues that we have in-house, especially administratively. Handling, we've not put the community at risk with our staff, and we want to make that clear, but we do have issues with trying to cover vacations and sick time and things like that. This would help us with that staff considerably. It would make the police department, I think, a lot more efficient.
So you also have a backlog of detective work.
That's right. We are running with one detective. We're going to move someone else in there to help them. This will help us manage that staffing. It will help us recover with that officer on the road. It will also help us when we have any other sheriff. Primarily, one full-time
the two part-timers, from a vehicle standpoint, will be okay. So now that we do this, oh, well, now we have to get the salary letter to support them.
Well, we need equipment that we would need as company need personally to do the job. And I should point that out, that with the part-timer, we have that stuff all watching. One thing, with the full-time officer, we don't have the training, the equipment, and the hiring expenses budgeted for that either. But we, even with those expenses, we still believe we'd be in really good shape with the money that we have saved by not filling the other positions. And the earliest we'd be able to hire the new officer is October 1st at the next academy, and we would be cutting it short to be able to get that person in with our timeline, with permission, and just getting all the work done together. So chances are it may go into late October or November. Once we hire that officer would, if the person goes to the October 1st academy, they would return them around December 24th. That would be about the same time that Officer Stephens would get all of the training program.
Chief, right there, I mentioned that before, we have a couple of students that will be coming up as well, too, correct?
I'm sorry, what?
See, some are around then, some are January, some are now, a couple more maternity leaves coming up, or maternity leaves.
We have Sergeant Captain Finsky's wife. We'll be having a baby in early January, and Sergeant Markworth's wife in early December.
So if the board were to kind of decide to move forward with this, which I'm kind of hoping we do, especially when we need from that, is there any way we can get the chief director to go ahead and start the meeting, and then we have a decision for the next meeting for our approval, so we can kind of at least get the initial paperwork, so we don't have that person name until the next time, so they can transition in smoothly right at the holiday and when those attorneys and attorneys come up. There's something that we can do on from that standpoint. I know we are taking it close.
I mean, there's a census, I think, that as far as fiscal and control that and the end
component. How to keep spending money. I can do some paperwork and get some things started.
Get the initial. There's the things that we can do on that end, just the start initiating it without putting the money so that it can possibly transition right into that October class right away.
I can make the commitment to reserve the spot, not a commit to reserve the spot for the academy and make the appointments for physicals and the polygraph test and psych test.
So pending our next meeting as long as everybody's
approved.
Well, if I say depending.
That's only a test account, I want to ask you.
Oh, no.
Well, yes, because I don't see why.
And honestly, I kind of am really proud of our police department for taking this time and actually testing out the first report of the staff walking and filling the positions that have been open.
Yeah.
And they really did test it out and see what they can handle, and they do have identified that this is true areas of need. So we kind of want to list the probability of this that we can draw on right now.
Yeah, I called the next applicant to verify that he's still available.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Well, okay. Moving forward.
Let's keep the next one.
All
right. Thank you.
Okay, back to ordinance revision.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, certainly. There's been a conversation, discussion, the request to look at the bill's code regarding raffles, and currently there's four requirements that have to be met for our state statute bills. One is aggregate value, which is currently at $25,000. Single prize maximum, which ours is currently at $15,000. You also have to establish a maximum price that would be allowed for each ticket, and then the number of days that you can sell the raffle tickets. Those are the current four requirements, and the discussion is just basically what you set the limits at. Arrogance research, currently there's no statute defining what the limits are other than we have to address these four factors, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And so we provided arrogance research also to come up with just some local codes regarding raffles. As you see, we're attached to Grace Lake, Antioch, and Round Lake Beach on some of the limits there. You have up from, you know, what's it, 50,000 to 250,000. But really the limit that you set is entirely up to you. I don't have any recommendations. I couldn't find any real recommendations. One, you know, some people contend that maximum limits and unlimited tickets allow for the potential of corruption in the raffles and people stealing the dough and the prizes. And the gamblers, anonymous people that try to keep a check on gambling, also think that raffles can be, the higher the value and the limits, the greater the risk, more people participate that don't have the means to do that because the reward is greater. So there, those are the two sides, but there's no definition of what a good limit is or to be applied. It's entirely up to the board to decide what might be appropriate for the village ride.
My question is, so what, so the purpose of the ordinance is to do what? What's the purpose of this?
Well, right now you have 30 limits set in your ordinance, and there was an issue with the raffle that was proposed to happen in the village, but it exceeded the maximum price in the grants in terms of 25,000. So at this point, we're just bringing forward a request to the board to find out what limits you would like to impose, if you want to increase it, what that is for the grant.
My question is really, why does this ordinance even exist?
Statute requires us to regulate
grant. State statute?
State statute.
And it requires, as Mark pointed out, these four specific things. In addition to the rest of the ordinance, you also have already implemented the law. Of course, then they say the municipality shall set these limits. They don't give you a maximum or minimum, but you can't do that. No. The state statute does not have limits for which is why some municipalities have upwards of $1 million up there. So they really did some research on various municipalities and it's all over the board.
What's the effect of cross-municipality boundary grants? I believe that this was brought up because of a discussion of a rotary raffle.
Yes.
Which would be a...
Sonny Hollow, Fox Lake.
Fox Lake, Brown Lake raffle, and...
It's not a very popular rotary club.
Statutorily-wise, where does that put the village?
And to be sold here, we have to have something. Or we have to do an intergovernmental agreement.
That's part I wanted to clarify. If the entity like the Fox Lake Brown Lake Rotary wanted to have sell the tickets within each of the Brown Lake communities and Fox Lake, we would need to apply to each community to sell.
Yeah, what would be the government
statute for?
Yes.
Yes, so if you currently have your ordinance, they would have to apply to go to Brown Lake to sell raffle tickets or hold raffle here in Brown Lake.
That's the part that I want to clarify so we don't wait what we think.
So I'll go back to my own. Okay, so the state says we have to do this. Do we know why the state makes us do this? What problem is this trying to solve?
Well, it puts other restrictions on the state statute as well, saying they have to, the organization has to be a not-for-profit organization, has to keep proper paperwork. They have to be able to turn that paperwork over to you for inspection, for the bond, the manager of the organization, for the bond, so that if something does happen, corruption, the prize is issued, the municipality has the authority to draw on that bond. It's really a set of protections the state puts in place so it doesn't turn into a lottery or a gambling without an official prize to be given. But it gives that power to the municipality instead of the state having to control it.
What is the value of the truck now?
they thought at this point. But they're looking to do a business assist with this, if successful, they want to do it to a higher value, to like maybe $50,000. So we do have numbers in the Round Lake and Foxwood that are part of some of the business out there to their friends or whatever who live in these towns. So I just think that people have to have a bond and all that, but the individual number is something.
The organization, as part of the permit, comes forward that they want to build the bond waiver that's brought to the village. When we have a raffle here in Round Lake, you actually approve a bond waiver for the village promptly, so that the village can have bond waiver. But that, under your ordinance that currently exists, you have the power to waive the bond requirement.
So not each individual, the organization as a whole.
Yeah. The Rotary Club that would submit the application.
So I think the question Don's trying to clarify is if Fox Lake Round Lake Rotary has a permit from Fox Lake for the raft. Are individual residents that might be in the village responsible under our ordinance, or can
they can't
sell tickets?
They cannot sell the tickets on the floor around it without a permit. But it would be the organization that would come forward to get the permit on behalf of the members themselves.
Or an intergovernmental agreement that says we'll pay the Fox Lake. Right? Is that how it works for it?
The intergovernmental agreement would be more of a long-term solution. You have neighboring communities that the organizations go to raffle off prizes and they go to each of the communities. It would be an idea to go to each of those communities and work out an intergovernmental agreement, set in what limits all the communities will adopt. There possibility of having one permit application, one permit fee that would be distributed to all the communities, that sort of thing. If it's something that happens often, you see other communities that can just join together with the other communities.
Yeah, get everybody to agree. So.
My thought is that it happens every day, so what control do we have and how quickly we want to pursue it? What's our legal counsel advice? As far as individuals, if somebody were to come up to me and say, I have a raffle ticket from XYZ, would you be interested in purchasing it? What's my responsibility to?
Someone is violating an ordinance on the vote.
Unincorporated Lake County is okay?
Unincorporated Lake County is okay.
Yes, I think that's fine.
I'm just trying to clarify how broad reaching the statute is.
Are
there holes?
You have jurisdiction to build an arm lake and that.
Are unincorporated county areas under the same statutory restrictions as the building?
Well, Lake County then would be the entity. It's not appropriate Lake County to use the township or the county to
county.
The entity that would have the
issue.
Yes.
Statewide enforcement.
Well, but given to each individual municipality,
this will cooperate on the county.
Chief, you wanted to say something?
Just curious, what would if somebody was selling raffle tickets and somebody wanted to make a complaint, what would you charge them?
Violating this section of your...
Would it be a court?
It would be a general ordinance fine. Believe either 500 or 750.
I just wanted to...
And it's a per day occurrence.
$150 per day?
Each day that you sell a ticket.
You can. You got to realize, Scott, you got to realize that you know, if you have somebody that comes in, you're going to want to have this in place. If you know there's a bill review or you know that there's nothing in trouble. And then you don't want it in place because you don't want to be enforcing it. You do want it there, but, you know,
one time into it.
Has anybody else?
We have an angle part of this conversation.
And they're all okay.
All
right. And that's not about the selling. The people that are going to either take the money or not have a prize, and then, you know, that you're protecting your residents is what you're doing with this. That's all.
If you find out,
you can try it. You can put it in bed.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
For rehearsals of it.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know.
Yeah, the best you can. Are we going to stand out with me somehow?
Okay, so what was the best result?
What's that?
What was the best result?
Since we have the address.
Since you said they're looking, at least for the one rep, and then we go up, they had something at 30,000, and you can see they were
well, that's the question.
Can
you establish limit and no limit there, or no?
It would be, you had half the establish no limit. That's why it takes not 3 years to go on $5 million, just to have to have something in place for the limit for each of these four categories.
Affairs is go around like Beach has different fees for different limits.
Yeah.
Is there a reason we would consider that? Or
we can think of it. I didn't talk to him specifically, but
permit review, I mean, the cost involved, legal review.
Or long-term follow-up. You know, if it costs more, you might want to, you know, expend more time to be the rep police and keep an eye on things.
The ability to review their records after the raffle is conducted. So if the organization you don't know and you would like to go in afterwards to make sure everything was on the up and up, you have that ability. So obviously, you know, a higher price value and cost of the tickets, obviously you likely have more documentation for you. That would be one of the reasons for a higher permit fee for higher permission.
And that is way
far
not
cross
permission.
Yes. So, for student state statute, it's only open to the proper position. Only when it's not proper.
Oh, but I think it sounds like BTS,
that was any that blue wave prior.
Oh,
yeah, blue wave.
Okay. I'm confusing.
Yeah, you get it back. I'm going
to
Thank you.
those fees? Just eliminate all of these?
No, it's just step fees.
Step fees.
That's right now.
The question on what more this project is.
How many rides will we do, Joyce?
Not that many. St. Joe does one, they fill out one a year. He might do maybe three.
We don't do that many of them, so.
So I have a problem with really not being able to be.
I think the feeling of the board is it's for non-profit organizations, so we should support those as far as now.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of make money out of that.
Okay, so that settles the discussion. Keep it at a $10 fee then. And then on to our amount limit.
Amount.
$50 to $100. Progressive or should you have a
I don't care for that.
$100 max $50 yeah, I guess. Or 100 aggregate?
100 aggregate per bag, 50
per bag,
max.
50 per bag. You know, that's the other theory of successful raffles is building that big prize. It does really well, you know, the better the fundraise.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask you to just put like the rotor to want to move like $6,500 vehicle to raffle, and it'll fit there.
Yeah, 250s.
Look at maximum prize amount per prize and then an aggregate total amount within that raffle. So if you have multiple prizes, Mark's suggesting 50,000 maximum prize value up to maximum total raffle value 100,000.
Can we just do this in all just aggregate numbers, plain and simple?
You can set a single price limit of 100,000 and an aggregate price limit of 100,000.
Okay.
Success.
I think that's, I mean.
$100 aggregate, $10 application fee,
and limit of days. Yeah, $100. Okay. Right. My $50,000
cart and rotor. I cover all the items we need to discuss.
$100 per ticket, max. That's sort of what we have. So I didn't hear anything on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
That covers all the items.
Okay.
Moving forward with those numbers.
Yes.
Comcast Internet Services.
Like this is Meredith. Plain and simple, we're trying to get a better service than we currently have as far as our speed. This is the basic of business package from Comcast. See the total annual savings was at $652.44 a year. Currently we have AT&T DSL and that's not only slow, it's more expensive. So we did try to go to Universe and we're in the process of transitioning back. Universe was even less with no contract obligation, but it just doesn't work technically with our firewall. It's not really a business service for the universe. But anyway, with the Comcast service, there's a two-year agreement and contract with that. Partially because the rate, the other part is the fact that they have to do some installation work that has been waiting to get that cable to the public works police facility currently doesn't exist. Any questions that we have to answer? I asked our IT provider, and he said yes, they will work.
Guaranteed in writing?
I asked him to email us, Mary Ann, for moving.
Okay,
And we'll accommodate voice over IP.
Yeah, 12 meg speeds with that.
Didn't have the capability with either of our current or prior.
That's correct, yes, sir.
Questions? Comments? Go forward. Okay. IT support contract. First question, did we ask for other prices again this year?
No, we did not ask for other prices again this year. Because we don't know we don't compete it because they're all higher than prices that he's had off anyway. So. There was a move foot last year call that there was going to be some consolidation, but everybody else enjoys paying more than we pay and not consolidating services. So I know we pay less than Grace Lake as the same provider, even at this proposed rate.
What is wrong with Matrix more of the switch part of the whole consortium of the past few?
So we were told if we wanted to pay more we would want to promote the consortium, if not, we want to know if it
is.
Yeah, the services are approved with them, you know. They are, after our rework, doing issues last time, it's been much better at the phone. So we have any issues with them at this point. I think we should have our recommendation.
Any objections?
Question, I have a question on it. With the total hour now, does that mean, does that matter? Because we already have one, that we don't have to...
No, if you direct that we reject this and go out, then we can do that. The dollar amount is just what was budgeted based on the
anticipated.
Oh, yeah. No, we're less than what we had budgeted and a few months over the whole year. So.
Overall, you're happy working with this?
Yes.
And we
had somebody here that was in the same company, also, that's
okay. No objection. We can use that for you. Okay. In the updated watershed development ordinance. We went through all I know is that Lake County wanted to approve it last October and we didn't approve it until April. I feel I did my job. We may not have gained much, but we had a lot of good discussions.
There's a lot of updates in it for what, EPA regulations, and what else we're currently served on the TAC that has been evaluating. He's also been participating in Lake County Municipal League and trying to address our concerns with the Watershed Management Board to review this WDO to try and make it as least onerous as possible for property owners, developers down the road. One of our concerns for over a year now that we've been working on this has been impact and an adverse economic development climate if you impose overburdensome regulations on businesses or developers. And there's been a lot of work to try and minimize the impacts of that with the new rules and make sure that the county is still competitive in the economic development climate with our neighbors, such as Kenosha, such as everybody else. Make sure we don't put ourselves in an adverse position. But more, we do need to adopt the ordinance because, one, we are a flood, flood insurance. We participate in the National Flood Insurance Program, and we need to have this in place in order to do it. We're also a certified community that those enforcement regulations for the WDO also, and so that's another reason why we do need to do it. We do have it on, available on the website, through the agenda, through the packets. These are linked for it also, and it is downstairs in hard copy. You can keep there for 30 days for inspection, and then we meet the past at the first October meeting in order to meet the goals set by Lake County. I don't know if there's anything else to add.
About 30% of the amendments were cleanup, text changes, clarifications. 10-15% were governmental, FEMA, IDNR mandated. The rest of it was Lake County driven. And there were some slight concessions to allow the community enforcement officer some latitude on how to interpret things. A couple of other amendments included some discussion of interpretation to be done by SMC staff, and if that's followed through without county board interference, should work better. And Lake County Board actually sent two amendments back to the SMC board for reconsideration to make them less restrictive than what the original items were that were forwarded to the Lake County Community. I mean, I have a toolbox of items to work for. Runoff volume reduction.
The one I approved for the mayor, if I might, the one item that's still open that we're dealing with at TAP is interpretation of existing agreements, annexation agreements, mm-hmm. that nature that might be in place prior to this adoption of these new amendments. Okay, how is that going to be enforced?
That's part of SMC's memo of the discussion on what staff envisioned interpretation was with working with communities versus county gets involved. Oh no, this is the way we see it, not how you see it.
So I ask if we need to do this just to qualify for flood insurance and maintain our certification.
So we're okay with that section 2 though, that has been the most restrictive conditions apply. Second page. That in the event the rules, regulations, terms, and conditions imposed pursuant to the Lake County Watershed Development Ordinance are either more restrictive or less restrictive than comparable rules, regulations, terms, or conditions imposed by any other applicable rule, regulation, resolution, ordinance, statute, or law, then the most restrictive rules, regulations, terms, or conditions shall govern.
We're okay with that?
Yeah, I think that could be an issue.
That's legal language for saying that WDO is what it is. They're adopting it, they're abide by WDO.
Okay. That was basically the mandate. And that's
Lake County's mandate, so the legal language.
That's part of with your certification of the flood insurance rate of the community with Lake County that SMC was instituted that each community in the county had to either adopt the county ordinance or one that was more restrictive. So that's kind of where that language comes from.
Gives you the ability to enact stricter regulations. You see that.
Yeah. Basically, any state or federal mandates that come down, we have to still need to go with that. Yes and no.
We need to
improve.
Okay, so the board's okay with moving that forward. approval. Suggest a new topic. Hearing none, motion to adjourn. Duty is called. All favors.
Aye.
Duty is adjourned.
Thank you.